See, the language of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, the main key is visualizing. If you go against the teachings on visualizing, you're shutting yourself off from the whole realm of Christianity. You see, but there are others, you know, who have practiced this wrongly. Yes. Where there is a counterfeit, there is a genuine. We don't throw the baby with the bathwater. We discern where the meat is and leave the bones. That was the key to Jacob's life, the vision. That tells us his walk with God. Now, the other key, there are three keys in Jacob's life. Number one, a covenant relationship. He made a vow and he promised a tithe. Number two, the Holy Spirit teach him visualizing. And it was the God of battle who told him, arise and go. He tells that in chapter 30. The third key he found, and that's the one that every one of us must move into, to move into the ways of the Spirit, that Jacob found in chapter 32. Verse 22 to 32. The wrestling of Jacob. And in the wrestling that Jacob had with the angel of God, Jacob learned one thing. You have to die to self before you can get the things and the blessings of God. Now, some of us may think it's strange that Jacob should battle or wrestle with an angel. It is some of the strange workings of God that we don't fully understand. Now, obviously, the angel was stronger than Jacob. But it's just like in a wrestling match, sometimes you have a handicap, or sometimes you play chess, you have a handicap. If you're a fantastic player, you may give away a piece first before you start. Right? It's a handicap. The angel came down purposely in order to exhaust Jacob and show that all his strength can come to naught. Although he looks like he has won, but he won because the angel had a handicap. The angel was not permitted to use his full power. You know, he was not. Because all the angel need to do when Jacob at the handicap level was winning was to put touch, and Jacob was limp. One touch and Jacob was limp. So you know the angel was playing by a handicap. But there was a special reason for this. You see, Jacob was a wrestler all his life. He was born a sumo wrestler. Started training in the womb. Fantastic guy. And wrestling, he wrestled with Esau and he won. Wrestled with Isaac and won. Wrestled, and he was a wrestler. Wrestled with Laban, who wanted to wrestle and cheat him back, and he won. Now God put an angel, a handicap, he wrestled, he wrestled, and he won. But when he won on the handicap, the angel showed him there's a higher power, touched him, on his thigh. From that day on, Jacob went. And my friends, that's the end of the wrestling Jacob. Third major key in moving to the Spirit. Learning to die to self. To yield. Rest and not fight the Spirit. That was the hardest thing. The first area was easy. You know, getting to know the Spirit, getting to know God, and getting all that you need. The second area, visualizing, already some stumble. Some move in, some don't move in. Wait till you reach the third area where you got to die to yourself. And everything that was your favorite tactic, you got to die. It's the hardest thing to do. Catherine Kuhlman used to say she died 1,000 deaths. That's why she could walk closely with the Holy Spirit. You walk closely with the Holy Spirit. You see, Jacob is a typology of the Holy Spirit. You walk closely with the Holy Spirit, I can tell you the price He sometimes demands. He shakes you up in the morning and says, get up, come, pray. Wakes you up at odd hours. You say, I want to sleep. You say, pray. Now you want to fellowship with the Holy Ghost? He chooses His appointment time. Odd hours. And sometimes when you feel, you think that He should be manifesting, He doesn't. So Holy Spirit is the person. We learn to yield and learn to flow. Immediately you see a tremendous change in Jacob. Because in chapter 33, Jacob became a giver. When he met Esau, he sent all the presents now ahead. So when Esau saw all these presents coming, he said, whose are these? These are from your brother Jacob. Someone came, these are from your brother Jacob. And then when Esau was far away, Jacob bowed himself down many, many times. Every time he go near, he bow again. Go near, bow again. I can assure you, this is not the same sumo wrestler. It's a different Jacob who is now touched by the Holy Ghost. Now he's a picture of the Holy Spirit more perfectly. The giver. He's giving. And in giving, he received more than he could grab and take. Because his brother became friends with him. And he got all, had all this, the, his friendship restored and everything else. Now there are small incidents recorded in Genesis and there, like chapter 34. Those are side incidents trying to point to the lineage of Christ. That you find some of those people mentioned here, their names are mentioned in their genealogy. The last person, four major persons in Genesis, is the person of Joseph. Joseph begins in chapter 37 at the age of 17 years, we hear about him. And in the life of Joseph, he is what I call a reputation of what the prophetic message for the church in the life of Joseph. Because you notice that Joseph is one of the closest types of Christ you could find in the Bible. You could find at least about 40 to 50 points and list everything about Joseph and everything about Christ that is similar. We don't have time to go into. A lot of them, he's one of the closest typologies in Christ. He was born of his brethren, Jesus born of his brethren, betrayed by his brethren, betrayed by his brethren. 50 times you can find similarities. Sold for silver, sold for silver. Thrown into the pit, gone into the pits of hell. A lot of similarities. But here are the truths that we want to draw out. In the first part of Joseph's life, it points to the Jewish dispensation. You see, in Genesis 37 is Jewish dispensation. Before Joseph was thrown into the pit, before Jesus went to the cross, all Jewish dispensation. Then, in the final part of the life of Joseph, when Joseph was restored back to his brothers, it is back to the Jewish dispensation. So again, it is a type of prophecy. It is what I call a prophetic typology. It points to the coming. It points to the time that Jesus is going to meet his. It points to Jesus going to meet his people, the Jewish nation. And the timing and all those things, you could see that it is a time when the Jews are having difficulty. When Jacob and his brethren are having famine, difficulty. So Jesus is going to come back for the Jews when they are experiencing great difficulty. Travail, as we realize in the prophetic type in the book of Daniel. Now the in-between period is the church age. And that's our time. So from the time you see Joseph's story taking place in Genesis 38, you will realize that that begins a type of the church age. And the type of the church age, you'll notice that Joseph spent 13 years from the time he was sold into Egypt until he was before Pharaoh at the age of 30. So 13 is a number of rebellion. And it points to that period of human rebellion against God that is finally overcome at the end. You see, the church age is the age of the Gentiles. We are launched to all nations and to every creature. Matthew 28 and Mark 16. And during that period, we are told to go and share the word. And it's the period of what I call human rebellion. And it will close just as Joseph closed that period of his life before he met with the Jews at the peak and height of glory, so shall the church of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, so shall the church of Jesus Christ experience. Notice, Joseph met his brothers during the last 2 years of the famine, but not during the 7 years of prosperity. That tells us that the church will experience the heights of glory before it translates back to the Jewish dispensation. And you notice in there were two types of going to the cross. One, Joseph going to the pit. The other, Joseph going into the prison because of Potiphar's wife. And notice there were two guys there that were significant, the butler and the baker. And they were significant because in 3 days' time, Jesus, 3 days and three nights, both of them in 3 days' time, one will be restored, one will be put to death. It looks like there is Joseph and the butler and the baker. And look at Jesus and the two thieves on the cross. One went to paradise, the other went to hell. Isn't it significant? And one talks about resurrection, being restored, and one talks about going down. And the picture of the baker, bread, and the butler, the vine, grape, both are also symbols of the Lord Jesus. He says, I'm the wine. He says, I'm the bread of life. And the bread has to be broken, has to die for us. The vine gives life. All these are prophetic types. It points to the Gentile age, which has already taken place and which is already in place. But remember, there is one part that is not fully taken place yet. And that is the years of prosperity. The years of prosperity. And Joseph was restored to the years of prosperity because of a need out there. Pharaoh had a need that nobody else could have. And notice who opened the door for Pharaoh to have Joseph, the butler. The butler who was restored. The butler who handled grapes. The butler who handled the vine tree, which represents resurrection. That tells you that it's only through the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ that God will open a way to the Egypts of this planet Earth. It's only through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, as we learn to tap on the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be better positioned to be placed at the place of glory where God wants the church to be. Even the name of Joseph, Zaphnath-Paneah, it means Savior of the world. It's a title that's in New Testament given to Jesus Christ. All these talks about the Gentile age and how wonderful the Gentile age ends in a state of glory. The church is not going in weakness, it's going out in strength. And the book of Genesis closes. The life of Joseph is from chapter 37 to chapter 50. It closes only when Joseph died. Closing the fourth symbol and typology for the New Testament. Pointing to our times today. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We ask, O God, that you continue to restore our hearts and our lives in your word, Lord. As we look in your word, Lord, refresh us, O God. Awaken us, O Lord, to the many truths that are available in your word. That we will press deeply into them, Father God, in Jesus' name. Let's all rise together right now. And let's sing that song, Sweep O our souls, sweet spirit. And remember, the keys of the Holy Spirit is not struggling, it's yielding to Him. Whatever you need tonight, just yield to Him and the Holy Spirit is able to impart into your life. Thank you, Father God. We thank you, Jesus. Sweep all our souls, sweet Spirit. Sweep all our souls. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete as I see that it's me.
Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia.